Have you cataloged your collection?
Yes, they're on 3x5 cards.
Okay. And how many would there do you have, approximately?
I really have no idea. They're all around the house.
I don't have a collection like this, but my books are all over the house too.
And the records are for the most part in the basement, which is not the best place in the world for them. And what else could I? Oh, I had a special interest in Robert Boyle. And this is a case where I finally got the 1772 six-volume edition.
Oh my!
And this, but you see again, you take it. I take it in a bad binding to get the text.
Sure. Robert Schofield, who's a Priestley.
Right, I know him well.
Told us in Philadelphia after he had finished the last Priestley volume and he wasn't going to touch Priestley ever again. And he sold all his Priestley books.
Oh, I had no idea.
And he said he collected those books simply to use for his work. He did not collect them for any other reason. And when he was finished with Priestley, he didn't want the books anymore. So I guess he made notes, he did whatever. He wasn't worried about condition, he wasn't worried about anything else. They were simply a resource for him.
Well, these are a resource for me, but I like having them too.
Yes. But I'm pretty sure that he sold most of the Priestley books after he finished that second volume recently. What was the, how can I phrase this, what was the most you spent on a book, if I may ask?
I'm not even certain. I probably haven't spent, the most expensive one I can think of at the moment, is Libavius. His Alchemy, which I paid $350 for.
Is this another one you had rebound?
No. That's the way I bought it.
Okay. Oh my. I've noticed that you have also signed your name in these books.
Sometimes.
Okay, I wanted to ask if that was a standard practice or...
No, not always.
My grandmother's brother bought a 3-volume Bible in Philadelphia and signed his name in the front like this. And many years later, it was discovered the Bible belonged to Bach.
Oh, my goodness.
And his notes are in the margins, and his name is on the title page. The J and the S and the B are intertwined on the title page. And there have been 2 PhD theses done on this Bible, and but he didn't know it. And it was discovered by accident by somebody else. Mm. And they gave the Bible to the Lutheran Seminary in St. Louis, which is where it is now.
Interesting. That's really interesting. This is another famous work, the Theatrum Chemicum Britannicum.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That's a nice binding, too.
That's from Walter Pagel. He didn't like things that...
Oh, his name's in it, yes. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
He didn't like books that weren't perfect.
Okay.
And this has something that's replaced in it. Anyway, anything that he thought I might like that he wasn't satisfied with, he'd let me have for £10.
I learned that Edgar Foss Smith, when he'd bring things to American Chemical Society meetings, and they would get together and just show each other the parts of their collection, he would give people things to get them started in collecting.
Oh, I know somebody else who did that too. Aurel LaRocque, a historian of geology, would give books away to people who would work on them. I listed some things that I don't want to bother you with too much, but some things that are quite rare. One of them, I can find it here. I had this one rebound. This is the first book by an Englishman, it's in Latin, on the Paracelsian system. It's a very rare book.
Moffat.
He was a member of the Royal College of Physicians.
Did you get this in England or here?
To be honest with you, I don't remember.
What kind of information do you have on your 3x5 cards?
I don't have the price. I don't necessarily, and I probably don't have the where I got it, the dealer. And I bought from dealers. I never bid on in auctions like Pavel did. I didn't think I'd have a chance. But I have just the normal thing that you would find in a library card, author, title.
Oh, marvelous.
When he graduated, Life magazine came and took pictures of us.
Really?
Because we had two kids, and the family were there, and so they took pictures of him with myself and the two little children. And I said, and there's a baby in the house that I left behind. So they published it.
Really?
Yes.
What year?
Yeah, what year? 1961.
Well, it wasn't published in Life, though.
Yeah, we have the picture.
Yes, we have the picture. They took the pictures. They didn't publish the pictures. We sent the pictures to Harvard, uh-huh. And they published it in
their graduate
school. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it was real funny.
Maybe we can... I'll send somebody looking for that. See if we can find it.
I think we have a picture somewhere around, don't we?
We have the picture somewhere.
We have the picture. If you want it, we can send you a copy.
Oh, yes, yes, definitely. That would be nice.
So funny.
We would like a copy would be wonderful.
In fact, Larry Holmes' wife have had a baby at the same time when he was not graduating, so she came to babysit with the baby. So graduation.
This is the flood you were mentioning
this
earlier.
This is the Robert Flood I was mentioning. This, I didn't know that this book was available. It's the first publication, well, second edition, the first publication by Robert Flood, and Sidney Edelstein told me about it.
Oh, really?
So I sent for it.
Okay. Did you have much interaction with Edelstein?
Not a great deal, but I knew him, and I met him at meetings, but also in Israel. We saw him there, and we took us to his apartment, or his daughter's apartment or something, right on the beach, Mediterranean, very nice.
Did you go to any ACS meetings?
I've been to some, yes. And the last one I was at was at the ACS meeting in Chicago, the last one in Chicago, about 4 or 5 years ago, something like that. And I gave a paper there. It's when Bill Smeaton was given.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And I spoke at that time.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't go to that meeting. At one time, the History of Chemistry Division of the ACS had people who were really professional historians who were active in the division. And I'm including in that Aaron Ide, who was really a chemist, but by that time had really become a historian of chemistry and published his book, I think, in 61.
Yeah.
But there were others, too, who were... When the division started, it was mainly chemists. Edgar Foss Smith started the division for people to get the chemists to get together and show things from their collection. And Robert Brown, I mean Charles Brown, Charles A. Brown, at one of the meetings had the most unusual artifact of anybody, and that was a lock of John Dalton's hair.
My goodness.
And supposedly it's in the Smith collection in Philadelphia. It shows up in a catalog as being there, but nobody can find it. And I don't know how you prove that it's a lock of John Dalton's hair either, but that's what Brown claimed.
Well, he must have had some reason for it.
And this is with the two D's, and not the one.
It's always with the two D's, except for volume one of the History of the Macrocosm, which has it with one D. And that's what he was working from primarily.
Okay.
So, I don't. I've got a lot of important. Well, some of the early.
It's okay.
Textbooks, the chemical textbooks are interesting. And again, they must be in the New Neville collection. This is one of the first books I got. Bruni and I were down on Wabash Avenue in Chicago and went into Crock in Brentano's bookstore, and on the second floor they had a whole bunch of old books, mainly in the history of chemistry, and this one I think was $17. I think you bought it for me. I have the works of Paracelsus in German and Latin. The Latin edition I have is from the library of the Prince of Liechtenstein for some reason.
How multilingual are you?
Not an awful lot by many people. I read English. I've written a book on the French Paracelsians. Their works are mainly in French. I use German. I use Latin. I use Spanish. I find Italian a maddening language. But I,
any reason?
All those little words that they have.
Okay. Did you develop these, this ability to read in all these languages on your own?
In high school, I had Latin and 1 year of Spanish. In college, I had, I think I only had Spanish in college. When I decided to go back to graduate school, I used to go in every week with Bruni, and we would study Latin and German and French with a retired professor of classical Greek. Hmm. That was, that was kind of difficult when I look back. Going after working full day at Abbott Laboratories and driving into Evanston from Waukegan, I couldn't do it anymore.
And with roads that aren't like the roads today either, yeah. I assume.
Yeah, it's about, I guess it's 35 miles or so each way. And sometimes we would stop in Glenview on the way down to leave the kids with my parents. Oh, well, I'm older now. I've got more sense. I'd never go back to school again. I have a, really, I just jotted down some of the names when I was thinking you wanted to see some books. In addition to Paracelsus, well, I've got the English Van Helmont, which is a very desirable book. Again, I suppose that it's in the Neville collection, but I was very glad to get it. I don't think I've seen it on sale. I don't know if I've ever seen it on sale. I got it from Lester King, who taught the history of medicine in our group. He was a senior editor of JAMA, and he published widely in the history of medicine, and he was through working on Van Helmont, and I had a beautiful copy of some other work that he wanted, so we just traded. But it's a nice, again, it's all the work of Van Helmont, and very nice thing. This is an original binding. Moffat and Severinus. Severinus is another major figure. I've got a couple of his works. Angelo Sala. No one has really done any work on Angelo Sala, who's another very important electrochemist. Oswald Kroll, he's important. I've got him in French and English. Beguin, I've got his textbook. Porter's work on distillation. Lefebvre, Glaser's important text of chemistry. Andernach, I've never seen that work on sale. I've got his work on the old and the new medicine from Walter Pagel for $10. It's this thick, it's down on the shelf there. And he was a teacher of Vesalius, and late in his life, when he must have been about 70, he started reading the work of Paracelsus and wrote this book, which included traditional medicine and then a discussion of all the new medicines that were coming in. Now that's important. because it made a real difference in pharmacy with the addition of all these chemically prepared medicines. Not that they were doing anyone any good. They were killing people. But I shouldn't be so harsh on the poor people. Sennert is another major name. I've got Sennert. And Digby. Becker. Stahl.
Oh my, yes. Oh.
I have Thomas Willis, whose early work is very much in the chemical tradition. And Sylvius, another iatro chemist. Boerhaave, I've got Boerhaave and Stahl and Lavoisier. These are what I wanted was a collection that would be sort of a base collection. So I like working at home, and that's really what I worked up. It isn't enough to write a book from these, but it's enough to get the basis for a book in many cases. Another, I mentioned Starkey. Starkey is someone that seems to be a lot of interest today because it was of great interest to Isaac Newton. And this is another one of the works I picked up in that little astrology bookstore in Chicago.
Secrets Revealed. Now, I noticed that you, in each of these books that you've shown me, you have information about that book from various sources that you've got.
When I see it.
Are they from catalogs?
Yeah,
or?
From catalogs.
Okay.
It's useful because it shows what people think in general about someone at the time. And at first I thought it would be helpful in regard to prices. The prices change so quickly that the prices really don't count for much.
Well, I guess in recent years that's really become, prices have really gone through the roof too, haven't they?
It's too bad. Really, it's too bad, because I think it's fun to collect. I never thought that the books would be worth a great deal. I'm not sorry that they've appreciated, but I mean, that Libavius, I paid $350 for. I think it's worth something like $15,000 today. Now, that's ridiculous, at least from my point of view. And that's a beautiful copy. I have other copies that would be worth less because they have a page in facsimile or something.
I think Roy Neville told me that at one point he thought about selling his collection and decided not to. But the price of the collection at the time he thought about it, of course he added after that, but it wasn't anywhere near what it brought later on. And he even admitted he never thought it would ever accrue to the value it did.
I wouldn't even know how to sell the books. I've had so little interest in selling. I'm sure that dealers only give a fraction. And
are your children interested in them?
No.
Did any of them follow in your footsteps or become academics?
No, although the oldest boy is he's a chemist with the EPA in Chicago, with a great interest in prehistoric life, and he's written 3 or 4 books already. But he really should have gone to graduate school, because the writing books and articles, that's what people in the academic world do, and that's how they get credit for what they've done. But in the EPA, it doesn't make much difference, except for himself, and that's important too.
Well, I think many academics do it for that reason too, that there's a certain amount of satisfaction you derive from the writing that you do, the research that you do, regardless of what anybody else.
Oh well, yes, that's true. You don't go into the academic world for the money. At least I didn't. And I think it's true in most cases.
Yeah. I have some other questions, sort of general questions about your collection, but it may be time to turn this tape over first.
Okay.
Before I do that, then I won't have to.